The assigned subject for this hour is the convention theme discourse on John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Before we examine the details of verse 4, we would like to consider the surrounding context of this verse. We read some of the context from John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Here we see that the context of John chapter 9, verse 4 is the allegory of the man born blind. An allegory provides a lesson. In this case, the allegory actually took place with the healing of the man born blind by Jesus. We continue reading from John chapter 9, verses 5 through 7. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Well, now that we have briefly considered the context, we would like to consider who the allegory applies to. In John chapter 10, we have the parable of the shepherd of the sheepfolds. John chapter 10, verses 15 and 16. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. In this scripture, we have a reference to other sheep, not of this fold. This gives us the idea of multiple sheepfolds. Well, how do we know that the sheepfold parable also applies to the blind man? Following scripture from chapter 10 provides the tie-in. John chapter 10, verse 21. Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Here we have a reference back to the allegory of the man born blind. Well, what are the multiple sheepfolds? Let's read a quote from the newspaper sermons, page 272. Quote, He was speaking to his flock, spiritual Israel, whom he was gathering out from amongst nominal Israel, and subsequently from amongst the Gentiles. The other sheep, now lost, the world in general, blind and deaf, will be found in the Lord shortly. Unquote. I'd like to read a couple other quotes from the reprints. Reprint 5694. These other sheep of the Lord, we believe, will include all of mankind, who during the millennial kingdom will be glad to avail themselves of the great provision the Lord has made for them and his plan. They are other sheep in the sense that they will be of a different nature from the flock which the Lord is selecting during this gospel age. Continuing, the other sheep will be the great flock of the Lord, the great family of Adam, purchased by Jesus, unquote. The first of the sheepfolds is the remnant of Israel. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This points out that Jesus was seeking a faithful remnant from the Jews. Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." For this first sheepfold, we are considering the lost sheep of Israel. When we consider the parable of the blind man, it is important to note that the Jewish leaders were blind. The Jews, besides the remnant, were the dry ground. He was seeking those that would follow him and have their eyes opened, as represented in the man born blind. The next of the sheepfolds is the Gospel Age Church. The purpose of the Gospel Age is to select out his little flock. John chapter 21, verse 17. Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He was saying this to the apostle Peter. Acts chapter 15, verse 14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. This is the primary reference that we refer to regarding the selecting out of a church during this gospel age. We would also like to consider the future selecting out of the sheep of the world. This is the third application of the sheepfolds. Matthew chapter 25, verse 32. "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." This text refers to the selecting of those from the world that will practice righteousness. These will be the other sheep that are mentioned in John chapter 10. The world and the Jews are currently blind. After the church is complete, vision can then be restored in due time. Romans chapter 11, verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." We now consider the time context of John chapter 9, verse 4, the timing when this picture took place. We know that Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Feast of the Tabernacles is part of the Atonement Day sacrifices. It is the time of atonement, not the time of the Passover. It is in the fall when the Day of the Atonement begins. This also references the return of our Lord in October 1874. This occurred in the third year of his ministry, so it was 6 months before his crucifixion. Many beggars were probably out due to the high number of worshipers around who would be more inclined to be benevolent. As far as the blind man is concerned, seeing Jesus was the least important part. The following and obeying was the most important part. This is what we must do as well. Now that the context has been partially considered, we would like to return to the text at hand. The Weymouth and other translations use, "We must do the works of him," instead of, "I must do the works of him." The Greek word used in verse 4 is fairly consistently translated, "me," "I," or "myself" in the King James Version. Are we justified in considering that we must do the works of him who sent me while there is daylight? In considering this text from a Second Advent perspective, we believe we are justified in applying it to the church and not only Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Yes, we are the light of the world, if faithful. We will consider this more as we go on. We must do the works of him who sent me. We should all be familiar with what it means to do God's will to the best of our abilities, fulfilling our consecration vows. The article for the recent May 25th manna is entitled "Living the New Life." It's reprint 2212. The text for this article is from Romans chapter 12, verse 21. "Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." With the downfall of the old order, this is becoming more difficult to do as the world's insanity increases. We must remain separate from the world's way of thinking and refresh our minds often with the scriptures so that the new mind only practices righteousness. We confess the truth and light, loyal, zealous, faithful, obedient to his word, laying down our lives because of our love for the Father and his ways. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, we are given an outline for how we are to live our lives. We would also like to read one quote from this reprint 2212. Quote, "Cleave to that which is good." The thought is adhere to, be cemented to, that which is good. There is a constant tendency, not only from our own fallen natures, but also from the world and the devil, to separate from that which is good and pure and noble. We must resolutely determine that at all hazards and for all time, by the Lord's grace, we will adhere to him, the truth, the way, the life, unquote. This thought struck me as I read the article for the testimony meeting. Being cemented to that which is good by the Lord's grace. Work has the idea of a ministry, an activity, action or labor, service. We can't heal ourselves or others except by sharing the promises of our Lord's word and reflecting the Holy Spirit. We would like to read a summary of the accomplishments of our Lord Jesus at his first advent from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We are not to break men's hearts, but we are to bind up the brokenhearted. There is truth, a standard, a hope, a beautiful coming kingdom. This is our testing time. This is the time we are given light. Are you taking advantage of your opportunities or wasting them? Are you laboring for the cause? We could spend the whole hour just on the topic of doing the works of him that sent. So we will quickly approach the topic. Let's consider some questions. Are we developing the fruits of the Spirit as we practice righteousness in all things? Are we putting on the whole armor of God for protection in this hour of temptation? Are we living as in the new day, thinking upon that which is good continually? Are we looking upon the world's doings as on a sea of glass? Are we trusting him where we cannot trace him? Are we practicing self-control so we can better serve our Lord? Do we have faith? Trusting in the covering robe of righteousness? Are we close to the Lord in prayer? None of us can do these things perfectly because we are imperfect. What we can do is practice doing our very best day by day to develop perfection of intention. Are our days dedicated to doing the Father's will? Are we being transformed into the image of Christ? John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. And make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Let us consider night versus day. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In the context of God's days, his days start with an evening and end with a morning. This is true of the night of sin, followed by joy in the morning, provided by the presence of a returned Lord. In the context of God's days, his days start with an evening and end with a morning. This is true of the night of sin, followed by joy in the morning, provided by the presence of our returned Lord. We read in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The death penalty for sin must be served by all mankind, including the church. The great day of our Lord. To contrast the night and the day. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear or reverence my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Indeed, this is a great day, and we are privileged to have our eyes opened as the blind man receiving sight. Yes, the evil things shall be burned up, unrighteousness shall be destroyed. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming, or rather presence of the Son of Man, be. The presence of the sun bright shining. This is an interesting process. It shines brighter and brighter as the millennial day progresses, as more are brought into his light. As he brings more and more to atonement, brighter and brighter will be the shining. John chapter 9, verse 4. While it is day. We would like to consider aspects of this day from both the first and second advents. At Jesus' first advent, his coming and judgment proved a test to the current order of things. The failure of the Jewish nation to accept their Savior resulted in their double of trouble, their night. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. All but the remnant of Israel refused to accept the light and remained blinded to the glorious gospel message. While it is day in regards to the lessons for us, refers to the gospel age, including our Lord's second advent. It runs from the baptism of Jesus until the completion of the church. At Jesus' second advent, his kingdom blessings have proved a test to the current order of things. Those that like it the way it is don't want the changes. At his return, some of the blind were made to see and appreciated these blessings. But those who had a large measure of current favor put blinders over their eyes, they didn't want to lose what they had. They rejected the truth and hardened themselves against the light. Their pride shackled them in darkness. Pride not only hinders oneself from seeing the light, but it may also cause others to stumble. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. God blinds the minds of them who believe not, lest the glorious light of God's goodness shine in their hearts. As for us, with enlightenment comes corresponding responsibility. This day for us is a time of opportunity, a time when our time, talent, and zeal may bring forth fruit to the Lord's service and praise. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. We need to exercise our opportunities to the fullest while they are available. When you are dead, it is too late to improve. There are still some who are looking for hope, and we need to give them hope as we witness to the great kingdom to come wherein dwelleth righteousness. Very few are in sympathy with light and are permitted to receive understanding through the Holy Spirit. It is our privilege. Even though we are not appreciated, comprehended, or understood, we still must let our light shine as we have opportunity. We must fight against evil and stand up for truth. We must work the works of him that sent us while the light of the sun is upon us. We now move to John chapter 9, verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, this is true of Jesus, and it is true of his followers. Jesus said he was the light of the world, but he has followers who are illuminated by the Holy Spirit and its blessings. Jesus called these the light of the world, as we previously read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. We reflect our Lord's light. We need to be prompt to acknowledge that we brought nothing of our own to this arrangement. By love, faith, humility, and obedience to our Lord, he can make something useful of us. Those fortunate enough to be enlightened by the Word as his representatives should be ambassadors of truth, sharing the truth as we are able. This is the relationship of the bridegroom. Excuse me. The bridegroom and the bride. The bride radiates the love for the groom. The light is being removed. The church class is declining in numbers, as expected. Ye are the light of the world. Joel chapter 2, verse 10, and the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Once the church is gone, the light of the world is removed for a time, until the blindness of Jacob can be restored. We would like to consider the church's mourning and the world's mourning. For us, the joy of the morning is upon us. Since our Lord's presence, his return, his light has been shining. We see the light of the morning. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Also, Psalm chapter 46, verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Again, the world does not see his light. They are still blind. We are privileged to have our eyes open to the understanding of the second presence and the understanding of the time we live in. The world's time is coming, and their eyes will be opened when the highway of holiness will be open for them, the other fold or flock. Let us consider the signs of the night. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. We realize that since 1914 we have lived in the time of trouble. The start of the time of trouble corresponds to the end of the times of the Gentiles, the 2520-year lease. This also results in another time. This is referred to in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. We have seen many temptations come upon the earth. Communism, socialism, federalism, relativism, anarchy of thought, Marxism, and its devastating effects. Additional signs of the night. Luke chapter 17, verse 26 through 30. And we're going to just let you read these. It refers to the days of Noah and the days of Lot. We see these signs all around us. The signs of the days of Lot. The signs of the days of Noah. The world can't think straight. They are becoming more and more insane. This insanity will increase because they do not recognize the light and the righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. There are many fables in the world today. These fables are to be avoided by the church by holding firm to the word of God. The effect of the night upon us. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 from the Weymouth. The night is far advanced, and day is about to dawn. We must therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and clothe ourselves with the armor of light. As we mentioned, we reflect the light. We are to be vessels of light. We read about how we are to do this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Yes, we need this whole armor of God to protect us in this evil day. We now turn our attention to the night cometh when no man can work. Well, what does this mean? As far as the second advent is concerned, I believe it is fairly simple. When the night cometh when no man can work, the door of opportunity is shut. There is no church class left. This reminds us of the destruction of Babylon after the call to come out of her was over. Jesus and his followers were no longer found in her. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 43. And we also have Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. For lo, darkness covereth the earth, and deep gloom the peoples. But on thee beameth Yahweh, and his glory on thee is seen. During this time of darkness, Isaiah is telling us that his glory on thee is seen. The world is blind, but we are privileged to have our eyes opened. His light is upon us. How thankful are we for having this privilege? I would like to read a couple quotes from the third volume to confirm what the night when no man can work means. Volume 3, page 213. On the other hand, the closing of the door in the parable of Matthew 25 marks the full end of opportunity for any, even the called ones thereafter, to attain the prize of the high calling. It marks the end of all opportunity to prove worthy for the prize of faithfulness in the service. All opportunity for service will there terminate in the night wherein no man can work. John chapter 9, verse 4. Also on page 225 of the third volume, if you see the door of opportunity for sacrifice and service open before you, enter in. But enter quickly, for the night of darkness and intense opposition to the truth will ere long be upon us and will hinder you from engaging in the service. The morning cometh, and also the night. The night cometh in which no man can work. When that is true, you may know that the door is shut, that all the wise virgins have entered in, that all have been proved, and that all vacancies have been acceptably filled, unquote. When the pastor wrote these quotes, he thought the time of trouble would only be a matter of several years. It has been much longer than that, but the quotes are true, still true. And his interpretation of the scripture is clear. Well, we're running a little bit behind in our timing, so how is the night described elsewhere? Let's consider this. I equate the night when no man can work to Jacob's trouble. This is, of course, the culmination or final phase of the great time of trouble, the close of Armageddon. This whirlwind of trouble takes place after the church is complete. The time of trouble started in 1914, but after the church is off the scene, the holding back of the trouble is released by our Lord, who has complete control. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." We realize this is actually a precious promise because Israel is saved out of it. We read more of this in Zechariah chapter 1 through 3. And we will leave this for your reading. Here we see the deliverance of Israel after being greatly humbled. After this time, we read a beautiful promise from Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn." Yes, when the church is complete and Jacob's trouble is finished, they will be ready to have their eyes opened. Israel and all Israelites indeed that are willing to practice righteousness. In with the new, out with the old. One of the interesting things to consider is that restitution blessings, the times of restitutions, helps bring the downfall of the world to mankind. The blessings of ease and wealth are exacerbating sinful dispositions. Leisure all growing in abundance. But now they are being used for lovers of pleasure instead of lovers of God. Mankind is actually using these to destroy society. They are marching toward Eden, but do not know it. The world is moving away from God and his principles. as stated in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. This destruction of the old order reminds us of the destruction of the Midianites with Gideon's 300. And their confusion, they killed each other. Do we see this going on all around us today? Judges chapter 7, verse 22. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled. We recall when Joshua blew the trumpets on the morning of the seventh day to destroy the walls of Jericho. The walls of sin and evil will be destroyed in due time. When our Lord put the clay made from the ground and his spittle upon the blind man's eyes, the blind man couldn't yet see. He needed to wash in the pool of Siloam, as commanded by our Lord before his vision could be restored. These are pictures from our 2019 Israel trip. Our Lord provides the ransom. He was sent to remove our sins and the sins of the world. Two salvations to four classes. This requires action, faith on the part of the blind man, faith in the ransom. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. In that day, the millennial day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Our Lord is that fountain of life for all that will hear the words of the prophet and practice righteousness. Hallelujah! What a Savior! We must confess the truth as the blind man did. How was he treated after he had his sight restored? He was cast out by the Pharisees. John chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. Then said they to him again, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples?" The answer, of course, was no. Their pride blinded them, not willing to accept their Savior. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The day will come when the blind world will have their opportunity to have their eyesight restored. Yes, we look forward to this day. Let's read from John chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. John chapter 9, verse 4. To summarize, I believe that John chapter 9, verse 4 is actually quite simple. Jesus had to consecrate his life to fully do the Father's will perfectly for 3.5 years before he was crucified. The church must fulfill their consecration vows to do the will of their Father to the best of their abilities, relying on the covering robe of righteousness, practicing to obtain perfect intention to righteousness before the opportunity to do so is removed. The time is short. The time frame for serving him will run out. Do not lose your anointing. Again, John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Let us be about our Father's business. We must increase our efforts to serve our Heavenly Father. May the Lord add his blessing and overrule anything said amiss.